98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
The Phoenix Suns are now favored to win the NBA championship. I understand why, but I still cannot wrap my brain around how fast we arrived at this point. Just 7 months after Chris Paul arrived in Phoenix, the Suns have vanquished LeBron James. They swept an overmatched, undermanned team in Denver. Their fans have become one of the most amazing stories in sports, unless you pick a fight with one of them. And now they get a week off while the Jazz and Clippers have two more games to play, minimum, and those games are guaranteed to take a toll on whatever team survives. I once believed the Suns could reach the NBA Finals if everything broke well, and it has. The other side of hard is exactly what Monty Williams described. But I never believed they had a chance against Brooklyn, except now that path seems wide open as well. And the way the Suns seem to be ascending, I'm not sure the quality of opponent even matters at this point. So yes, the Suns are favorites to win their first NBA title, even though you have to say it a few times to let it really sink in. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you my friends at Chapman BMW. Check them out at the newly renovated Chapman BMW in Chandler at Chapman BMW on Campbellback. You can find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
All right, before we get to the subject of favorites to win the NBA championship.
Yeah.
You got through it, by the way.
Yeah. Struggling.
Got this tweet from Michael. I hope Dan Bickley never gets his voice back. It's like a mix of Scott Farrell and Rome. Did somebody say Scott Farrell and Rome?
How can I be the man if you're the man? How can I be the man? How can I be the man if you're the man? Get him a cold one. He's a freak.
That's good.
1-800-BENCH-29. That's almost better than your Rome. Almost. That's good.
I haven't heard Farrell in so long. I don't have the material to back it up.
Yeah. Listen, for those who were unfortunate enough to hear me yesterday, I'm good with this. This is a market improvement from me from yesterday.
I think it's downright sexy, Bick. You're a freak.
Yeah. Yes. Guilty as charged.
Yes, what you were referring to in the blast, 538.com, has given the Suns a 29% chance of winning the NBA Finals, which is the highest of any of the seven remaining teams. Now, those will shift daily, obviously, and what's, I think, helping to bolster the Suns' chances right now is the amount of rest that they're going to get while the other three teams that make up the Final Four, if you will, might have to struggle to get to that point. Every other series is tied 2-2 with the Suns just kind of sitting back waiting. Yep. We played a soundbite in the first half of the show from John Barry that suggested maybe the Suns during this long week of prep, you bring in some referees, you have a full scrimmage to keep you sharp. I mean, those are the types of options that they have in front of them right now, which at this point of the season, you know, 72-game regular season. Yes, it's short. It's not what they're used to, but they've played 10 playoff games. So they've played the equivalent now of 82 games and a lot of high-pressure games in the last 3 weeks or so.
Yep.
So this is a luxury that a lot of teams don't normally have. And I think I saw a stat. 7 of the last 11 NBA teams that swept the conference semifinals went on to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can connect the dots however you like, but facts are facts.
No, listen, to me, when you sweep a playoff opponent, it doesn't really matter how damaged or marginalized that team is. That's an impact statement. Because even the most injury-depleted playoff team has got enough pride and talent to summon one victory. Generally, it happens. Mm-hmm. And for the Phoenix Suns to do what they did in Denver is, to me, very studly and very mature and very smart to not mess around with this. I remember one day back in Chicago when we were covering the Bulls, I believe they were up 2-0 in a best-of-5 series against Miami, and Michael Jordan said, this is in the bag. And he went and played like 54 holes of golf. Right?
I do remember the story.
And the Bulls ended up losing, and it was like, what are you doing, man?
Mm-hmm.
And he realized it. He was like, okay, my bad. And he was a holy terror from that point going forward. My point is, it's easy to kind of let your guard down when you get a big lead in a playoff series.
But that, I mean, that just goes to show you how maniacal Michael Jordan was in everything he did. Who plays 54 holes of golf if you're not in a tournament?
Who?
You're not on the tour.
Right. Well, what that says to me is he kept losing gambling bets and forced his gambling partner to keep playing.
That's true.
Because that's what he did.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. We're playing again.
There wasn't, he didn't do it for the love of the game.
No, he did not.
Bobby Marks on with Burns and Gambo. Yesterday, he was asked the question, who do you think is now the favorite to win the title? He said it. Trust me. I guarantee you he said it. He's going to say it again right here.
Phoenix. I mean, I've said all along they were my team to get to an NBA Finals. Did I think they could beat Brooklyn? Probably not. But I just look at the East, how it's stacking up with Brooklyn. They're on the ropes. I'm not sold on Milwaukee, not at all. I don't care if they get out of this series based on how they play, certainly on the offensive end. And in Philly, where Embiid's got to get through this Atlanta series. He's got to get through an Eastern Conference Finals. That knee, we'll see where that will be in a month from now here. And I've just said all along, I love their Phoenix is certainly starting five, and then when you've got Sarge playing better, campaign, your bench has been kind of a foundation piece, and then you've got as good as a starting five out there. Why not Phoenix?
Yeah, you're certainly starting to feel like, and I'm not saying this to potentially jinx anything. Not that I believe in that stuff anyway. But you kind of brought it up in the blast, Bick. It feels like it's starting to turn, and everything's coming up purple and orange right now.
It is. It is. And it's really an amazing, exhilarating experience because the next basketball game they play is going to be in the Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like I said, I understand why. I've watched every minute of this basketball team, and I see what they're doing, and I see how they're growing, and I see how dangerous they are because they are so connected, and that is so rare. This is the age of innocence for this basketball team. And we've seen it before, but the age of innocence with some of our favorite sports teams have never translated into a title. And I go back to 2004-05 when that team was as fresh and new as this one is in Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
and created the same kind of buzz and love affair. If Joe Johnson does not get hurt and they win that championship the first year, they might have been three-time NBA champions. Everything about the direction of that franchise changed for the worse because of the compounding failures that team experienced. Had they cashed in that first ticket, it might have been a whole different ballgame. That's the way sports works. In this case, they feel close to me.
Well, I mean, they're at a level in the postseason that this franchise has been at now 10 times in its history in, 53 years of basketball?
Mm-hmm.
They've never achieved the ultimate goal. And one of the reasons why, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why, things working against them, but if you look just at team construction, the Suns have never had a defense to lean back on like they have right now. And that might, is this the best Suns team ever? There's a lot to be written on that subject between now and whenever this ends. Is it possible that is the case right now? It's entirely possible because of that fact. Not only do you have two guys, you've got a prolific scorer in Devin Booker. You got a guy who the recently vanquished Michael Malone said, asked the question, is Chris Paul the greatest point guard of all time? If not, he's up there.
Yep.
Do you have those options? You have other guys that can chip in. They were one point away from having all five starters in double figures for four straight games in that sweep. You got guys off the bench that are contributing. But the biggest difference with this version of the Phoenix Suns, that in addition to all the things that in front of them are turning the right way, is they can play defense.
Yep.
You're right. Defense, how many How many times have you heard the phrase defense wins championships in your
life?
Quite
a few times. But yes, if you're a basketball team that can get stops, it changes everything for you. I mean, look at that last game against Denver. Nikola Jokic goes out, the Suns turn it into a boat race, and then they lose their edge. And Denver starts making shots. And then suddenly the momentum seems to be begging to swing back to Denver. What stopped that from happening? Aside from Chris Paul, defensive stops. And I agree with you. That makes the Suns team so dramatically different than most of the ones I've ever experienced. And so does the grit of those three guys, Booker, Crowder, Paul. Those guys are hardcore basketball dudes. Mm-hmm. They like it when it gets nasty.
Mm-hmm.
The Suns haven't always had a lot of guys like that either.
Yep. Here's another soundbite from John Barry from ESPN on with Doug and Wolf about what he thinks is the least talked about aspect with the Suns.
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously they're playoff neophytes for the most part, right, besides Crowder and, mm-hmm. and Chris. But I just think they have a confidence, you know. They never seem to be too high, too low. You know, they seem calm and cool at all times, and that's obviously a reflection of your head coach, number one, mm-hmm. and then your best player, who, you know, you can argue it's Devin Booker, what, you know, it's going to be, but Chris Paul still is the leader of this team. So they take on his persona, and they play well beyond their years.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. It will continue to be fun to watch when we get to determine who the Suns will play in the Western Conference Finals. Here to talk Suns NBA playoffs with us, Amin Alhassan from the new moniker,
yeah.
Meadowlark Media, joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. What's up, Amin?
What's up, guys? And, you know, Sirius XM also. I wonder if
that's true. That's true. Yeah. Sirius XM, NBA Radio. But how is the new venture going?
Oh, it's great. You know, I've been working with them pretty much for 6 months now. It's just now I finally get to have, like, health benefits and dental and vision and those types of things. So
nice.
That makes my family very happy.
All right. So from your experience right now, how open is this path for the Phoenix Suns?
Oh, it's wide open. It's wide open. Look around. Right? Like, Donovan Mitchell's on one leg. Serge Ibaka's out for the rest of the playoffs, and the Clippers are still the Clippers. You look over in the East. God knows when Kyrie's going to be back. Harden's going to give it a go today. But I'm going to tell you, hamstrings don't work like that, where you just kind of shake it off. And then Milwaukee, you know, I guess they're the healthiest of the remaining teams other than Phoenix. But, you know, they've had their bouts of kind of weakness or fragility in these playoffs. So this right now, this might be the most confident the Phoenix Suns have been about winning a championship since 2007, maybe?
Yeah. Amin Alhassan joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
Going back to that Nuggets series, obviously it was a very business-like approach to what the Suns did. I wanted to get your reflections, Amin, if we could, on Game 4. And I know the series didn't swing on this call. I don't think the game swung on that call, but the decision to eject Nikola Jokic, what did you think of it?
I said I was on the radio with Sarah Kustak and Brian Custer yesterday. And they both kind of opined first, and they both said, you can't do that in that situation. And my answer was, if I had visited myself 10 years ago and said, hey, 10 years from now, you're going to be the guy sticking up for the refs, but I would have never believed it. Absolutely get his ass up out of there, because here's the deal, guys. The series is over. You're down 3-0. You're down damn near double digits in the second half of game four. Things were not going that way. He didn't swing wildly for that ball because, ooh, he really wanted it because they had a chance to win, because this was a close possession game. That's the swing of a frustration of a guy who realizes what's heading his way.
Yeah.
What's heading his way is 1-2-3 Cancun. And so he absolutely was out of control. Was he going for the ball? Yeah, but he did it in a fashion that was reckless and had no place on the basketball court. If he was just trying to do a frustration foul, look, we've all played pickup ball. We've all had the frustration foul. You wrap a guy up, you hold his arm, you shove the hell out of him. What you don't do is swing wildly in a motion that can be misconstrued as perhaps a strike to somebody's face. I don't think he tried to hit him, but I also think he didn't care whether he hit him or not. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're out of control. And what it reminded me of was Andrew Bynum in 2011. Lakers were defending champions, and they got swept by the Mavs. And at the end of game four, Andrew Bynum just shoved the hell out of J.J. Barea because he knew, it's over, bruh. You ain't going to come back. You ain't going to have no miraculous comeback. Get him up out of there. He didn't deserve to be on the court. The game and series is over.
Good stuff. All right. If you're a Suns fan, who would you prefer to play in the Western Conference Finals? Who do you think is the better matchup for the Suns, the Clippers or the Jazz?
That's a tough one because I think the Jazz are the tougher team, the better team. But, Donovan Mitchell's hurt. And we know, kind of like the hamstrings, the ankles, you don't give them rest, they tend to re-injure. There's a reason why he tweaked his game at the end of game two. He tweaked his ankle in the end of game three. And then game four, I think he had another kind of scare there where he hit the floor. This is going to be kind of repetitive for him because he's not getting the chance to rest it, to let it heal and snap back pretty much. On the other hand, it's the Clippers, right?
Right.
And like, look, Kawhi Leonard is better than anybody on all three of those teams that we just named. And so you have to respect that. You have to respect his championship pedigree and the fact that he's basically unguardable. But having said that, it's the Clippers. And we know that the Clippers tend to do Clipper things, right? One way or another. Yeah. And you know that Chris Paul probably, even though most of the characters are gone from when he was there, he probably wants to, give him a little extra dig about, how his exit happened and how, he turned into the quote-unquote bad guy there. So I guess even though, a hobbled Donovan Mitchell, if he doesn't play, I like the Suns' chances against the Jazz without Donovan Mitchell out there, but I think the sure play is the Clippers because they go through these spells where they just don't try hard.
Yeah. And they're two wins away from a step of the playoffs they've never been as a franchise. I mean, we're about at the time to see some goofy stuff happening from the guys in the Clippers uniforms.
Goofy is definitely a word I like using to describe the Clippers. I don't know if there are any Clipper fans listening right now. Just understand it. It's because your team is good. We're going in on them like this. Like, if they were just the Timberwolves,
right.
I would just laugh and brush up. But the problem is, we all recognize, the team is talented, man. Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson were starters on other teams in the league. I mean, they're starters now because of injuries and stuff. But, these are good players that they have. And Kawhi, obviously, as I said, he's a top five player in the league. And Paul George is one of the most talented players. But they just have a way about them, don't they? And the infuriating thing about the Clippers is they have this too cool for school mentality.
Yep.
It's like, we don't have to try hard. We're better than this. This is how they lost to the Nuggets last year. It's because they thought they were too damn cool. And too damn cool got them to a game seven where their coach was literally begging them on national TV to play hard. Game seven of a series that you won that 3-1 in.
Yeah, that's kind of nutty. All right, have you been paying attention to this phenomenon of new Suns fans and just how crazy they've been? And leading to the guy, the Suns and Four guy in Denver, have you enjoyed that video? Yes, you have, I can tell.
Oh, man. The best part was, did you guys see the video service of the two guys he beat up?
Yeah.
In the parking lot, walking away, oh, yeah, we washed this dude. And it's just you poor sad sap. You don't know what happened. You don't know how many camera phones are out at that moment recording for the world. What happened to the two of you, two on one, and the guy sucker punch.
That was great.
You can't write it any better. And then my man said, Suns and Four. I saw Devin Booker reached out. Asking for the guy's info on social media. I hope to God he's sitting courtside. I hope to God he does the intros. They just bring him out and just yell out, Suns in four to start the series.
Talking with Amino Hassan from SiriusXM, also Meadowlark Media here on the Colter Automotive Group Sports Line. It's hard to discern right now because the Suns did play such a complete series against the Nuggets. They're on a 7-game postseason winning streak, something they've never done before. As you've seen them in the postseason, anything pop up as a real legitimate concern right now from the team? I mean,
just Chris Paul's health, that shoulder, you know, and that's the kind of injury where it can feel better and he'll be all right, and then he gets clipped on the screen. And something that regularly he'd brush off, but because it's tender, the pain kind of re-aggravates, and then he's back to kind of playing on one arm. I think that's the one thing I'd be concerned about. But they've played incredibly hard through these two series. They've played with great poise. DeAndre Ayton, who we've talked about all year long, is kind of being up and down, has been so consistent. And I just want to take this opportunity to point out to all the Suns fans, for the last 10 years, every time I come on, oh, all he does is hate on the Suns. I don't know why you guys have him on. Oh, he's a hater. He's a salty. I've been consistent. When the team is good, I'll say good things about it. But you guys are mad that I was saying bad things about a bad team. Well, guess what? The team's good. Now we're talking good about him. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Perfectly said. And that's why we have you on, Amin.
You know I fight the same battles, Amin, and always have, man. It's kind of the way it goes. And yeah, you've been one of the rare people who've come on over the years and have had the courage to tell the truth about what the dysfunction that has defined this organization for over a decade. And those are indisputable facts. Just because they're good now doesn't mean all of that magically disappears.
Right, right. It doesn't erase what they were bad when we said they were bad. And also, it's something to keep in the back of your mind. They're successful. They found that chemistry. They found that right fit and that right flow. But, Vic, you and I both know, it ain't the general manager and it ain't the coach, it ain't the star player who stirs it up.
Yep.
When it's the teams are going well. There's one guy who does that.
Yep.
He's managed to sit back and sit on his hands and just be the guy who sits courtside, cheers for the team, signs the check.
Yeah.
As long as that continues, I think James Jones, Monty Williams, and Devin Booker have a beautiful future ahead of them. The question is, how long will he sit on his hands and just continue to play that role?
Right. And will he go into the luxury tax if he has to, if indeed Chris Paul ends up getting a whopping kind of offer? What are your thoughts on that, the opt-in situation with Chris Paul?
I believe he's going to opt out. The number of marquee free agents on the market aren't – there's not a whole lot of them, right? It's Kawhi Leonard, and then we take a dip, and it gets to Chris Paul and Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, who are, I would say at this stage, all lesser players. I think for Phoenix, you know how great this fit is between Chris Paul and his team, the way the teammates react to him, how much he's helped people come along. I point this out all the time. We talk about how much better DeAndre Ayton is than playing with Chris Paul. Man, Cameron Payne was out of the league.
Yeah.
Cameron Payne was out of the league with the reputation of when people say, remember Cameron Payne? Oh, yeah, the guy that did the dances with Russell Westbrook before a game.
Yep.
And now he's a guy that Chris Paul's hurt. Cam, we need you to play 30 minutes tonight. I got you. And I won't embarrass myself. And I will be a positive on the floor. That's Chris Paul right there. That's what happens when you get to go to Paul University for a season. So I think Chris Paul's importance to Phoenix is much greater than it is to maybe some other teams who don't know how well he'll fit or not. And for that reason, I would support maybe overpaying for him, because if you don't, now you got to figure out, how can I replace him? Who can I get in here who can do some of the same things on the court and then off the court also have the same type of relationship with my star players, with my young players, my rookies, all these guys, and my head coach? And I don't think there's many guys out there. I mean, the only other guy on the market I would point to is Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
And we know he's going to have a lot of attention from Philly, from Miami, from the Lakers over this next offseason.
Yeah. Great stuff, as always, Amin. We appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you,
Amin Ohassan, Metal Arc Media, Sirius XM NBA Radio. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit coulternissan.com. Coming up next, some rule changes in baseball that could make a sticky situation even stickier. and the D-backs continue to near dubious history. We'll get into all of it next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Man, we're in a grind right now. I don't know where it's at, what's been happening, or the reasons, but we're working hard to figure that out. I know one thing. We didn't come up here to San Francisco to get our ass kicked four games in a row. I know I did. I know the coach didn't. And I know for darn sure the players didn't either. So we'll get after it tomorrow.
That is Torey Lovello. 20 straight on the road.
Yeah.
In the loss column, 11 straight overall in the loss column.
Embrace it.
The D-backs are, they're not good. They're not good right now.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, like, pile on, because I know there's difficulty.
What's the point?
Injury-wise. Yeah. This is the reality of the situation. I think, maybe not to this degree, but I think of all the people on the station, you kind of saw this coming more than anybody. I think you probably had the least amount of optimism about this team. And I think it's probably, you know, the product that we've seen, the results that we've seen probably even exceed what you expected at this point.
Right. And to me, the anomaly is how they look so good for a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's what kind of blows my mind a little bit.
They've reached this point now where I think they're like 3-35 in their last 38 games. I mean, we're talking historic type of ineptitude here. They've reached the point where you don't even feel like they can win a single game. And I know that's a lot of the psychology of losing streaks and being a bad team, but doesn't it feel like that?
Mm-hmm.
Especially now, I mean, like three more in San Francisco before they come home to take on the Dodgers at home on Father's Day weekend. But the Giants are, you know, the best team in the National League. There doesn't even seem to be, you know, a gasp of air for this team right now.
No, and so to me, I think what you just have to do, everybody, is just kind of recalibrate and flush the disappointment and just kind of look at the light at the end of the tunnel. Like you pointed out, there's a premier prospect available in next year's MLB draft.
Mm-hmm.
If the D-backs finish with the worst record, they get the number one pick overall, and then they can join the Cardinals and the Phoenix Suns, who both had the luxury and the privilege of having a number one pick in a draft.
Yeah, and the D-backs have had that distinction twice already in their history. Once it worked out somewhat. Mm-hmm. The second time it didn't work out very good because they traded that player to Atlanta.
Yep.
And he's been pretty good there. But
yep.
This prospect that you speak of, Elijah Green is his name, from IMG Academy in Florida. He's been compared to Mike Trout. And that's a pretty good comparison.
Yeah. So I'm kind of focusing on that and the fact that this baseball team is operating without a general manager right now and what Mike Hazen is going through personally. My heart just aches for him to move here with his wife and his boys and to make Arizona his home and to start a new life here on the West Coast and then to be dealing with this awful situation with his wife's medical condition. I just think that everything about this year felt to me like, okay, this is going to be a bridge year to hopefully next year when their prospects have some real seasoning. So that's really what the season's going to be, getting those prospects more playing time and hoping it pays off next year.
Yeah, Alex Young will be the starter for today's game. That was not yet determined when we started the show today when we were in the splash, but that's who will go for the Diamondbacks in Game 2 of that four-game series. By the way, we just got this tweet from Carson, too. D-backs are 6-34 since that second date story went viral. They were 14-13 before that day.
Wow.
That couple is to blame because they couldn't make it work.
it's not on them.
The other big baseball story was the finalization of this new foreign substances rule. The rules and the inspections are going in next Monday.
Wow.
June 21st.
Yep.
So you're going to see a different looking Major League Baseball as they attempt to crack these things down. A couple of the bullet points: starting pitchers will have more than one mandatory check per game. Each relief pitcher must be checked either at the conclusion of the inning in which he just entered the game or when he's removed from the game, whichever occurs first. Umpires may perform a check at any time during the game when umpires notice the baseball has an unusually sticky feel to it or when the umpire observes a pitcher going to his glove, hat, belt, or any other part of his uniform or body to retrieve or apply what may be a foreign substance. I mean, just when you read the words, Bick, doesn't it seem like this is going to make baseball a 5-hour enterprise?
Without a doubt. Well, yes, and it kind of speaks to how serious this issue is. And as I said earlier, this spider tack stuff and other things like it have been a game changer for pitchers. It has allowed them to get spin rates that are just unprecedented in Major League Baseball history. And spin rates are very, very important at making a baseball move late, right as it approaches the hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at the guys whose spin rates have gone through the roof recently. Trevor Bauer is one of them. There's a lot of guys who have. So this problem is very, very widespread in baseball. Steven Souza, who's one of our favorites on the show, tweeted this out, quote, "Those of you who suddenly found a nasty slider slash curveball via spider tack, see ya. Those of you who already had a nasty breaking ball, it'll be fun to compete against you again."
Yeah.
That'll tell you everything in a nutshell. You go up against a guy like Corbin Burns, and you can't touch him. His slider is wicked.
Look, the D-backs are not a great offensive team, but they couldn't touch him when they played him in Milwaukee. He had 13 strikeouts in that game.
Yeah, and so it's these spin rates are just, they're taking this problem in Major League Baseball and exacerbating it. And once again, the pitchers in baseball clubhouses have no respect for the hitters in their own clubhouse because they continue to do this. So,
yeah.
So Major League Baseball once again has to step in and prove yet again that baseball really is the Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. To me, it seems like the prevailing thought for baseball players is, I hate when other guys cheat, but if I'm going to do it, it's fine.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Seems to be the stance. A couple of other notes on this. Anybody caught using the 6 sticky substances after the inspection, 10-day suspension. And I think maybe the most interesting part of this, clubs may not replace a roster on the roster a player who is suspended for any on-field violation. So if you got a team that has, I don't know, 1 or 2 pitchers, all of a sudden you got a really short pitching staff, and that will kind of, in a way, police itself because these players want a full roster of 26 guys. Obviously, they want to have a full complement. The managers want to have a full complement of players to utilize. So that'll be an interesting thing to see. I can't wait to see who the first guy is, though.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. The other thing that I think is interesting, too, is that the hit-by-pitch statistic is way up in Major League Baseball. It's because of this. It's because the sticky stuff on their hands is making pitchers' release point erratic. And when you do that, you decrease location. And guys are getting plunked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of dangerous when you're throwing 98 miles an hour.
Yeah, there's nothing good that comes from it,
really.
Except if you like dominant pitching performances, which... To an extent, when they're legit, everybody loves them, but there are way too many of them now.
Yeah, way too many.
Coming up next, the latest in a series of more interesting comments from the Arizona Cardinals starting quarterback. We'll tell you about it next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Dan Bickley, Vince Marotta, Bickley and Marotta.
I know everybody around, like around here probably, you know, feels different about it, but I mean, me personally, like I play the game my whole life. Like if I ever had the opportunity, for sure, like I would definitely go for it. Like that's, what are we talking about? And I'm sure anybody else asking me would too. So I don't know. I'm not trying to start anything. I'm just talking.
We had a little fun with that comment last week from Kyler Murray when he spoke to the gathered media on Zoom during Cardinals mini camp. Generally speaking, I think Kyler Murray, I don't know, he comes off as a little bit more comfortable in media availability.
That's good.
Are you getting that? I guess.
Yes.
I guess there's logic in that. The more you do something for a lot of people, mm-hmm. the more comfortable it gets. I like the fact that he said, I'm not trying to start anything with this baseball thing, but yeah, I'd like to pursue it if it became available. Not like he was going to press it.
Yeah.
But if it was presented to him, maybe he would.
It's an area that he needed a lot of work in. Dating back to the combine, all the people who criticized him for his interviewing skills didn't realize that that's just the way he is. That the give and take of media to Kyler Murray, it's He looks at it very curiously, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a growing trend in sports, by the way, but whatever. So I think from what I've seen from him, he looks a little more comfortable embracing the idea that, you know what, I may not like this, but it's kind of part of my gig as starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I get that, too. Now, this other this popped up in the last few days, and we've been so Suns-heavy with the fever that's gripping the Valley on the Phoenix Suns and their playoff push. Kind of fell through the cracks. I think this is funny. Group of media talking about talking with Kyler Murray, making the connection. Look, you grew up in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a state law. You got to be a Cowboys fan, right? You're in the Dallas area. Listen, the audio's not great, but
you gotta be a Cowboys fan.
No, they were always ass.
Yeah.
No, that's funny.
You gotta be a Cowboys
that
fan,
is
right?
Funny.
Blank. No, they were always blank.
Yeah. Come on, you can say it. Gambo says it all the time.
They're ass.
In some way, he is right. Kyler Murray is only 23 years of age. When was the last time the Cowboys were in an NFC Championship game?
Longer than that.
Not in his lifetime.
Not in his lifetime.
No.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So, like he said, but they were always ass.
It is interesting to note
uh-huh.
The Cardinals play the Cowboys twice.
Yeah, that's a little problematic.
Once is a preseason opener. At State Farm Stadium
on
August 13th. If he does, maybe a series. You know, we don't know how preseason will be changed after, you know, post COVID either.
Mm-hmm.
How teams will handle their business now with only three preseason games. But the other one, Week 17, that's in Dallas, where in their home stadium, Kyler Murray's played a bunch and he's never lost, including last year on Monday Night Football. A game that was dominated by the Cardinals and
mm-hmm.
Looked like a pretty easy win. I'm wondering, you know, we get towards early January when that game's rolling up. How much that particular quote gets revisited?
I would venture to guess a lot, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, teams are always looking for some sort of bulletin board material, whether it's fresh or not.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the Cowboys trying to conjure something up on that front, no doubt.
Now, somebody tweeted out this picture a couple of days ago. Look at that young Kyler Murray. Can you see that?
With a Cowboys jersey?
With a Cowboy jersey on, yeah. And he is just, I mean, he might be 8 years old in that picture.
Yeah. Doesn't mean he was a fan. Your mom and dad picked the jersey up. Looks like he's with a buddy at the game.
Yeah. Okay, good point. That's a good point.
Look, when I was young, I don't know why this happened. I never got the story behind it. My dad bought me, at one point, a New England Patriots belt buckle. I think just because it was football. And then, you know, being a kid in New York, I was a Giants fan
mm-hmm.
because my dad was a Giants fan. And I had this really cool, one of those, like, it was almost like a Letterman's jacket. You know, had the red sleeves and the blue, and it was a Giants. And I wanted the same jacket, but I outgrew it. You move to Phoenix, you can't find Giants stuff out here. They were terrible at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents bought me a Dallas Cowboys jacket, and I wore the jacket because, you know, it was cold, but I never liked the Cowboys, ever.
Yeah, no,
I can relate to young Kyler.
I've always, even growing up in Chicago, I always hated the Cowboys. I don't even know why, but I just did. You know, you're a young sports fan. You don't need rational reasons for hatred or love or any of that stuff. You are or you're not. This also tells me that Kyler Murray's a bandwagon fan.
Which, if that bandwagon keeps you away from the Cowboys, I've got no problem with it.
No, but so you're growing up in Texas, but like you said, that's kind of like a birthright. You're kind of expected to cheer for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Not him. Yeah, no, I do think that will be part of the narrative, if you will, before their game in Dallas. How could it not be?
Depending on how things are going for both teams, too. CBS Sports, Cody Benjamin put out a piece. He's doing his position rankings heading into 2021. He ranked his top 10 starting quarterbacks heading into 2021. Patrick Mahomes, not surprisingly, is number one. Aaron Rodgers, even though he's just kind of doing his own thing and enjoying mm-hmm. his free time, he's number two. Russell Wilson, three. Tom Brady, four. Josh Allen, five.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson, there's got to be asterisks next to his position at number six. Dak Prescott, seven. He's going to be an interesting guy to watch.
They rated Josh Allen above Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He was an MVP candidate last year. He was really, really good last year.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson, 8. Justin Herbert, 9. Kyler Murray, 10.
Okay.
Which seems to be about the pecking order, or the place in the pecking order for Kyler Murray.
I would agree.
On a lot of these similar lists.
Yeah. That's interesting. But also, Kyler Murray is the guy that could shoot up that list this year.
He could. You know, there's some people speculating. They look back at Josh Allen's year. He was not great as a rookie, much better in year two, MVP quality in year three.
Mm-hmm.
So I know last year at this time we were talking about, okay, the year two bust out. Patrick Mahomes won an MVP in his second year as a starter. Lamar Jackson won an MVP in his second year as a starter. Didn't quite get to that level for Kyler Murray, so now they're pushing it back a year. He might make that third-year jump like Josh Allen.
And he might have made a second-year jump had he not injured his shoulder or did whatever he did that affected his play so dramatically. I'm going to stand by what I said earlier. If Kyler Murray is going to be a great NFL player, he will declare it this year. And he will take the rest of the team with him, and they will make the playoffs. He's got 2 years in. He's always been the best player on the football field for his entire football career. Now he's had two good years in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
If he's going to be great, it's going to happen this year.
That's a good way to put it.
I think so.
I think that's a really good way to declare it.
Here's the other thing that I thought was interesting about, not necessarily in any nefarious way, but according to the Washington Post, the Arizona Cardinals are among a handful of teams with the lowest vaccination rates in the league.
The Cardinals are?
The Cardinals are. The Colts, the Jaguars, the Cardinals, and the Chargers. Okay? And so Cliff Kingsbury was asked about it, and his quote was kind of interesting. He said, let me find it here.
That he didn't have exact numbers? Is it something like that?
He kind of said it's not my deal, but I think he said something that to the effect that his players have been almost overeducated on the subject. And I thought, what does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know what that means either.
Yeah, I'll have to find the quote before we go on further with it. So I don't know what that means. I do know that the NFL is pushing for it. I know that the Buffalo Bills have really been at the forefront of, hey, you're not coming to the game if you're not vaccinated.
Yeah. We'll see how it shakes out. I mean, there's a lot of time between now and the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I know.
So we'll see if that number changes. But there's certainly a push in that direction. Coming up next, Suns fans have made an impact this postseason. Which one has made the biggest impact on you? We'll get into that and more in social studies next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.